Hey, what is going on with the college campuses? What's the deal? I see protests going on with this Israel-Palestine war. Pro-Palestine protests that get crashed by state troopers with real guns? Yeah, something like this happened in Atlanta, Georgia this past Thursday. And I happen to have a guest on today who was actually there, who's going to tell us what happened. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce a guest, actually referred to me by Rudy, and his name is Fahed Abu Akel. Are you there?
Good morning.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm still alive and kicking.
That's the idea. And let me just throw in there that you are a doctor of ministry and presently a Presbyterian minister from Atlanta, Georgia, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, a lot of years of schooling in there involved.
Yeah, I went to Columbia Seminary, which is in Decatur, Georgia, and we have four theological institution, one for the Presbyterian, and Candler at Emory University is for the United Methodist, and at Mercer we have for the Baptist, and we have at Atlanta University six black denomination that creates one seminary called ITC, Interdenominational Theological Center.
Okay, and you were also head, you are presently head of the PCAP, the Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace? What is that?
The Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace, I am the secretary. And we have two co-moderators, two women, Nahida Gordon, and we have Muna. We are Palestinian Christians that are Palestinian Americans, and we want to tell our churches, Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestants, that we are Palestinian Christian and you do not know us, because Robert, in 2002 I was invited by Mrs. King, Tarata Scott King, to do the invocation at Ebenezer Baptist Church, the historic church for Martin Luther King.
Right.
And the program said, Reverend Fahed Abu Akel, and Presbyterian minister at First Presbyterian in Atlanta, Georgia, and I began to pray. God Almighty, God of nonviolence, I come to you in prayer in the name of Jesus, the Holy One that Martin Luther King served. And while I'm praying, the smartest radio in America, the National Public Radio, the man sitting in the balcony introduced me to the nation as a Muslim clergyman.
Well, that was a mistake.
It is a mistake because he had three generalistic evidences not to goof. Reverend, Presbyterian, and praying in the name of Jesus. No Jew, no Muslim can accept that. Now, give me a break. What was more powerful, not the evidence, what was powerful, my last name. Abu Akel means Fahed. I mean, means Arabic. Arabic means Muslim. So in a shabby way, that journalist say, all the Arabs are Muslims, and all the Israelis, are Jews. And maybe Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Now, but most Americans think that everybody from the Middle East has to be Muslim.
Exactly.
And that's not correct.
That's right. And look at the only we have 350 to 400 million Muslim Arabs, but in the world we have 1,700,000,000 Muslims. That means we have more Muslims in Indonesia than all the Arab countries put together. We have more Muslims in China, India, and Russia than all the Arab countries put together. So the idea of just, in a shabby way, to say all Arabs are Muslims. Well, Christianity started in Palestine, and from Jesus' time to the all the way to the 6th-7th century, Arab Christianity was loaded in Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Palestine, Egypt, and today we have literally 14 million Arab Christians of the Middle East. The majority are Coptic Orthodox of Egypt, Orthodox, Catholic, and for the shock of many people, the Presbyterians are the largest Protestant denomination of the in the Middle East, because the Presbyterian church went to Beirut, Lebanon in 1823. That means 200 years ago, and they put emphasis on evangelism, on education, and on medical work. So the two famous universities of the Middle East, the American University of Beirut, the American University of Cairo, is built by Presbyterian prayer, dollar, and mission co-workers.
Yeah, this thing about everybody being Muslim. I'm married. I think I told you. I'm married to an Arab, and she's been Christian. Her family's been Christian from day one. So let me ask you, Fahed, if I'm saying those names right, Fahed Abu Akel. Is that close enough?
That's enough.
Okay. What's going on with this Emory University? You were at there. You were at that location when there was a peaceful protest, and all of a sudden, state troopers came. What was going on there?
Yeah, you know, I received a call from a group called the Multi Faith Coalition. That's Christian, Jews, and Muslims. That we came together after October the 7th. And the whole focus is how do we really focus our energy on speaking the word of justice and peace for the Palestinians and for the Israelis. So when I went there, they wanted faith leaders to be present and to support the students.
So the protest was started by Emory students. It wasn't outsiders who were trespassing.
Yeah. It's both students in the university and the Candler School of Theology.
Okay.
So both, and I discovered to my surprise, we had a PhD. Arab American that born here. He have been since October the 7th with another Jewish rabbi. Every week he will have reading the names of the Israelis and the Palestinians who are killed. And I was, I was reading. I did not know how he'd been doing it. Every week.
Uninterrupted, every week, without a problem.
Nobody knew about it. You know, something good and peaceful and caring,
right,
and loving. This is not a big deal for the news.
Okay.
So the issue is, the thing that I was surprised is the police were all over the place. But suddenly I saw the state troopers coming on with the big guns. I never saw anything with the students that really provokes for them to have that kind of power.
So who called the cops on their peaceful protest?
My gut level will be the administration. You know, the security people in the Emory University, and to me, I want to change the ideology. I think to have a police in the university is not a good idea for the university. The university administration need to say to both the Candler School of Theology, who are studying ministry, and to the university students, I'm proud of you. If education is going to produce robots to jump what we ask them to do. We need to produce American kids with critical mind, with questioning, and not believing anything the government say or anything in the society.
So you
we
want
need
both
to
sides
for ourselves.
You want both sides to be spoken. The freedom of speech.
Both sides to be spoken. And to me, the difference between these young women and men, and you and I, we are old timers. We still live in the past. The young women, both Jewish, Christian, Muslim, or non-religious, they are saying, "What is happening in Gaza?"
And we're going to get to all that, but I just want to let everybody know that there were like 30 people arrested for this peaceful pro-Palestine protest. And if you can talk about the one side, you should be able to talk about the other side very freely. And if anybody wants to get involved and ask questions to Fahed Abu Akel, feel free, give us a call at 833-707-7900. And he, as I said before, he's a doctor of ministry and a Presbyterian minister from Atlanta, Georgia. And he's the head of the PCAP, the Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace. So feel free to call with any questions whatsoever, 833-707-7900. Now, before we really delve in here, Fahed, you are against violence of any kind and only seek the truth and peace. Is that your mission?
Yeah. I believe in nonviolence, number one. And two, you know, I grew up in the Galilee area, and the key person that influenced my life will be basically the teaching of Martin Luther King. One day, the teacher in high school in the ninth grade came and said, "I don't want to teach the class today. I want to tell you about the life of Martin Luther King." And he told us why he is in prison. He is struggling to liberate the black people in America because they need to have, under the Constitution, equal rights. So that encounter really said to me that a minister can struggle with his for his people to liberate, you know, his people. So King made more sense out of the gospel than the priest in my village. So when you think about my spiritual journey, Robert, first I need to lift up my mother, who is a believer and a Christian, belong to the Orthodox Church, that help us 8 children.
Now, where were you born? Sisters. Where were you born before you tell this story? Where were you born and what was it like? And why did you initially leave your home waving goodbye to your mother?
Correct. I grew up in a small Palestinian village called Kfar Yassif, and it's 25 miles northwest of Nazareth in the Galilee area, or it's close to the city on the Mediterranean called Akka or Acre or Akko. And that's my father was a farmer, and we were 8 children, 5 sisters, and 3 brothers.
And life was relatively peaceful, right?
It is, because basically all through history, when you think about when the Jewish people were persecuted in Europe, the one that welcomed them in North Africa and the Middle East will be basically the Muslims and the Christians. In every major city, you have a Jewish quarter. They lived with the Muslim and the Christians in harmony and respect. So as I think about 1948, the only thing I remember, so I am the child of the Nakba. And the word Nakba means catastrophe, and I will explain it. So the only thing I remember is basically leaving our home. As a 4-year-old kid, the one you look for will be your mother. And my mother was not there. So every time I see the children of Gaza, I see myself running around, Dad, my 5 sisters and 2 brothers looking for my mother. And suddenly I looked, and she was standing on the top of the roof waving. We left her, and we did not go north toward Lebanon. We went up east toward the mountain, and we went to a Druze village called Yirka. And we were put in a makeshift camp, but it's like scouts. And we were there 2 to 3 months and came back, and my mother was alive. She lived 86 years old, and my dad lived almost 90.
But it was quite old. It was quite a traumatic experience. Your dad leading the entire family with your siblings, and saying goodbye to your mom, thinking you might never see her again.
Exactly, and I will never forget that encounter. But when we came back, Robert, five Palestinian villages were destroyed. That means the new creation of the State of Israel, according Alan Pappy, who is an Israeli Jewish historian from Haifa University, he wrote a book called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, and he puts there that the new State of Israel destroyed 530 villages and towns and exiled by force.
That's so brutal. So brutal.
000, yeah, between 750,000 to 1 million Palestinians toward Lebanon, Syria, Jordan. And anytime we say Gaza, you need to say 75% of the people of Gaza are refugees of 48.
Okay, we got a call at 833-707-7900. Who's this?
Good morning, Robert and Fahed. Great story. I'm glad you have this guest on because we need to hear the other side. Through the years, we've heard the media side, and I believe the media's control everything, and they only give one side of that issue in the Middle East. One thing I'd like to bring up to Fahed is Norman Finkelstein. He says he is the authority on Gaza. He is Jewish, and he takes the Palestinian side. The important thing that Norman Finkelstein says with all the information that he puts out is if you don't have the ability to empathize and sympathize for innocent and children, and you believe that killing children is correct, you're wrong. And there's a problem. I like the idea of Gandhi. When Gandhi tried to correct things, it was all about peace and not fighting and so on. And I believe that the Palestinian people through the years have been persecuted, not so much by the Jewish people, but the people that control Israel, the people at the very top that pit the Palestinians and the Jewish people against each other because they maintain power and they also make money off of these people fighting. Thank you, Robert. God bless you. You're a disciple in the valley, and so are you, Fahed. Thank you. And Rudy, thanks for sending this person to the airwaves.
Thank you. Very well said, Stu. Fahed, what's your response to that call?
I agree with everything the caller said, number one. And two, I respect Professor Finkelstein. And this morning, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, he is going to speak at Emory University.
And he is a Jewish man, right?
He's a Jewish man. And his family, most of his family died in the concentration camp in Germany.
Okay, and as I said,
he makes it very clear. You cannot use that to oppress the Palestinian. You are desecrating the Holocaust to oppress Palestinians. The Holocaust need to free the Palestinians, not to occupy the Palestinian. He is like a prophet among us.
Now, when did Gaza become an occupied territory, and why? Briefly.
Okay. So basically, after 1948, Gaza became under the jurisdiction of the Egyptian Authority until 1967. And from 1967 to the present, is under Israeli military occupation.
What type of restrictions are involved for those living there?
It's the restriction. It's very powerful. I want to go back to Galilee. When Israel expelled the Palestinians out of their homes and their land, listen to that, the only people that stayed in the new state of Israel, 155,000 people. So I became a citizen of the state of Israel. Even though I'm a citizen, in the eyes of the government, I'm an occupied person. So, Robert, I couldn't leave my village in the 50s until I came to the United States in 1966 without going to the Israeli military governor in my village and get a permit. I couldn't go to Akka, to Haifa, to Nazareth, anywhere without a permit. And if I'm found without a permit, I go to court. And if I don't have money, I go to jail. That means in 1948, Israel produced 63 laws to control my movement, my education, my health, my labor, everything. So basically, the apartheid system of Israel discriminating against non-Jews began from day one. Okay, so let's go jump to 1967. In 1967, they occupied the West Bank, East Jerusalem, the Sinai Peninsula, and of course, Gaza, and from Syria, the Golan Heights. So you are born in 1967. So you are right now a 56-year-old woman and a man, know nothing but occupation. So I'm a Palestinian Christian, for example, live in Bethlehem. I cannot go to Jerusalem 6 miles without a permit. I cannot go to Beer Zeit University without a permit. We're not talking about a Palestinian in the West Bank going to Israel. We're talking about a West Banker going to his own place. So I need a permit to go to the university. I need a permit to go to the hospital. I need a permit if I'm in Qalqilya, in the middle of the West Bank, to go to my land. So we have a bankrupt, basically, media that doesn't tell us the truth. I mean, when they said that everything started October 7, it's intellectually bankrupt, historically bankrupt, and we are out of control. I mean, we are not relevant to reality.
So Gaza is basically the largest outdoor prison, as it was called, and you need permission literally to do anything because you're essentially locked up. Was there food and clean water available? What were the living conditions like?
The living condition, anytime you go and visit the refugee camps in Gaza, imagine they are in a refugee camp, and I never forget seeing 5 to 6 to 7 children living in one room and a half in a refugee camp. When you go to Gaza, really, Gaza hit you on gut level more than any other place in Palestine. So you're talking about poverty, you talk about refugees, and 50% of the people are children. That's number one. And number two, I need to salute the people of Gaza. Why? Because they have the highest literary education in any place in Palestine. I mean, the education is number one. So they go to elementary school, to high school, to colleges and universities, and they are very smart.
So it sounds like Israel wants to keep all the people in Gaza very poor and in fear, because it sounds like a total war zone and one-sided at that. Today I have Fahed Aboukel on with me. He's a doctor of ministry and a Presbyterian minister from Atlanta, Georgia. He heads the PCAP, which is the Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace. We got a call. Who's this?
I want to ask, you know, not only your guest, but you, do you believe that what is supposed to have taken place in October took place?
On how the war started?
No. On the people that were overrun with the Hamas and so forth, over that border area there.
Right, that's how the war started, right? Once that happened.
We're taken, you know, hostages.
Okay.
So, do you believe that happened?
All right, any other questions?
Yeah, I want to follow up.
Well, he can't speak with us. He has to wait until you're finished, and then I put him back on.
Oh, well, all right, then I'll finish with this. if this took place, okay, which there are Americans that have said their people are held hostage yet, the Palestinian people on that side, this didn't happen overnight. They knew what was gathering on their side to do what they did in October.
Okay.
So knowing this, how can you then say, oh, the Palestinian people, they're so innocent on this. They saw this coming, and no one said anything. You know, cell phones are very easy to get on and tell somebody on the other side. They're saying, hey, these terrorists are gathering on this side. We see them gathering and with weapons and so forth, and
okay,
they're going to come over. So how can you blame the Israel, you know, the Jewish people for doing what they're doing to try to clean them out?
Thank you. That's a very fair question. Thank you for the call. So, okay, Fahed, how did this war start, and were the people of Gaza supporting the attack by Hamas if it really acted out the way we were told? Go ahead.
We really need to create a real platform to the ideas we are thinking about. First of all, we need to say we are against violence of anyone that does it against civilian. So what happened on October 7, I condemned, I cried, and I prayed for the Israelis. But when the Prime Minister of Israel said to the American people, this is my 9/11, I start in my mind, imagination, I say to myself, the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, will say to Biden, President Biden, look, you destroy Afghanistan, you destroyed Iraq, you destroy Syria, you destroy Libya. For God's sake, I have only Gaza, and they can, you know, it's only 45 minutes north to south and 15 miles in width. Well, you know, let me take it. And, I'm not saying that this is the way it happened, but the president say with the Congress, Israel, we love you, we'll give you money, and we'll give you ammunition. The issue is the hearer or the audience need to understand that the conflict did not begin October 7, number one. Number two, we condemn what happened October 7. But in the name of heaven, can we condemn what Israel is doing until today for the last 6 months? Robert, we have right now 34,000 Palestinians who are murdered in Gaza, and the majority are children and women. We have 80,000 people who are injured. We have 1,700,000 people moved by force from the north to the south and now toward Rafah. And yesterday, a Palestinian Christian from Gaza, she is a graduate of Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia, she said to me, my relative was walking toward Rafah, escaping, and from while she is walking, she died. Okay, so the issue is right now, why will Israel destroy all the hospital? Why will Israel destroy all the colleges, the universities, the elementary school, the high school? We need to understand what is happening. Robert, you cannot understand what is happening without something called the ideology of settler colonialism. That means Zionism fit exactly to the settler colonial ideology.
I never liked that term settlements, because when country goes to another country and kicks out the indigenous people and take over their resources, that's called colonialism. But when Israel has done it, it's called just settlements. We're making settlements. No.
Robert, let's make it very clear. In the 18th, 19th century, when Europeans went to Africa and England went to India, colonialism, you go extract the resources and use the people and come home. Settler colonialism, you have one goal. You want to eliminate the native people and take the land and the resources. Who fits in that ideology? The U.S., Canada, and Australia. That means, according Richard Wolff, the big economist in the United States, a professor, he said if Israel happened 200 years ago, it would have worked. Why? Because America succeeded, Canada succeeded, Australia succeeded. The issue right now with Israel is this. In Israel proper, a pre-67 border, you have 2 million Palestinian citizens of the state of Israel. In Gaza, you have 2 million point three. In the West Bank, you have 2.8 billion. So for the first time since 1948, Robert, the Palestinian between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean is 50% Israeli Jews and 50% Palestinian. So you cannot understand Gaza without understanding the Nakba of 48.
So we need to understand history, and many people don't. I mean, the exactly. History explains what's happening today and in the future. Hey, I'll get to you. I'll get to a call in a second. But why does the United States always support Israel? Why is that?
It has several things. One, I will say at this point in history, what I call the evangelical or Christian Zionists in the United States are big in the U.S. government and persuading the United States to continue supporting Israel, right or wrong.
AIPAC buys off politicians, is what you're saying.
They really do, number one. Number two, many believe that when our military went to Germany and saw the concentration camp, the passion of Americans to save Jews became, big. And three, let's face it, Israel is a foothold for the U.S. to control the Middle East, in a way. Because if I wanted to be purely an economist, what is my economic interest in the Middle East will be basically oil. And if Israel can help us to control the Middle East and let the Arabs fight each other and kill each other, that's good for us.
Right, and I don't understand why Israel many times plays the victim when they sound like they have plenty of influence and power, especially when the United States backs them.
Okay, we got another call. I got to
bring this call in at 833-707-7900. Who's this?
Good morning, Robert.
Okay, real quick, this is your buddy, Fahed.
Good morning. Okay, I want Dr. Abu Akram to ask your listener, Robert, to seriously open their mind and their heart, because this matter is not a joke. People dying, this matter can't be, about politics anymore, because, American love Jewish. Because, our people dying, man. You cannot keep killing our people like that just because you want to believe a lie. Dr. Fahed, tell them how many churches Israel bombs. Tell them about the churches and the Christians that Israel kills. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Fahed?
I at this point in history, it is too late to use God to occupy the land, to kill people and destroy, for example, in Gaza, they destroyed 400 mosques and 3 churches. And one of those churches, one is a Baptist, one is Catholic, and the Orthodox Church, 1,600 years old. Now, one of the oldest churches in Palestine. So to me, the issue is Zionism and settler colonialism. We don't want the Palestinians in the land. we want the land and the resources.
And a big problem is, as I told, as we talked previous, Middle East Arabs have been portrayed as rock throwers all my life. That's all I saw, yelling and screaming. And it's like, well, who are these people? You can't reason with them. They're out of control. That's what the media projects to us, including our TV preachers like John Hagee. Add to that pile by promoting this Judeo-Christian values. I mean, when you listen to that John Hagee, it sounds like bowing to Israel is more important than bowing to Jesus himself. So the propaganda brainwashes us. Speak to that.
Yeah, and that's where I want people, if they can write this, www.christianzionism.org. This website will take you to the top Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal, all scholars really refusing Christian Zionism, that you cannot use the Bible, you cannot use God, you cannot use Jesus to destroy the Palestinian people and kill the Palestinian people and take over Gaza and take over Palestine.
And leaders all over the world since the beginning of time have used God in the Bible to claim a holy war when it's not. They just want the people on their side to create murder and a genocide, and it's not right. This is Don't Bring Up God. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WAEB 790 AM. We have a podcast. All you got to do is search Don't Bring Up Podcast. You can listen to the last 100 shows. I'll put this one up on Monday or Tuesday. We got a call. Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Am I on?
Yes, go.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Raleigh, and all I want to do is verify everything that this gentleman is saying. I've been following this for years, and it is so much deeper than people can possibly realize. There are many Jewish people that I've met that actually live in Israel. They're upset about what this particular party has done. The party that's running Israel right now is tied in with the United States, and I think that maybe Fahad could tell us, but I'm not sure how many political parties there are in Israel, but there's one party that's taking control, and even a lot of the Israeli people, Jewish people, I should say, believe in exactly what he's saying. They see it and they're crying out because they realize that their government is totally out of control. And this is a global issue also. And I have so many things that I could tell you, but it would take, you could do this show every day for a year and we would stay on this topic because this, in my opinion, is the most important topic in the world right now.
I agree. Thank you for the call. Fahed, what's your response?
Yeah, I agree with this gentleman. The Israeli Knesset, that's like the Congress or the Parliament, consists of 120 Knesset members. For you to become, Robert, a prime minister, you need to have 61 plus. So this is the worst government. Why? Because Netanyahu was forced to get the settler Knesset members. The way it works, you know, like Netanyahu gets 20 Knesset members, how he was going to do it, he will go to you with five and say, I'll give you the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Agriculture, and so forth. So you bargain all, you give the ministries until you come 61.
So it's so bribery. It's bribery, and he circumvented the system.
And not only that, he got two people, one Ben Gvir and one Swerch. Then these two people, really, on public, there's nothing secret about it. I don't want the Palestinian in the West Bank. I don't want Palestinian in Galilee. So they are really, they are the worst under the sun. But he needed their vote to become the prime minister and to stay the prime minister without going to jail. So the issue is this. I agree with this gentleman. I would say the majority of the Palestinians, the majority of the Israelis want peace, but that's the way life works. 10% here are radical, 10% here are radical, and 80% in the middle, and we need to convince that the people in the middle and the peacemakers that want to coexist with with each other. We need to support, and we need the power of the American Jewish community to say to Israel, what you're doing to the Palestinian is wrong.
There's got to be a better solution here. Hey, we got more calls at 833-707-7900. Who's this?
If the Palestinians want peace, as this fellow and saying that they do, then why don't they annihilate these sects that are putting tunnels under their hospitals and their colleges and other things, and arm into the teeth so they can come over and massacre people like they do throughout the world, the Christians. Talk about all the Christians that have been murdered and slaughtered by the Islamists and the Muslims.
Okay.
How about talking about that?
All right, Islam and Muslims, that might be separate from the issue because he's a Christian, as we know. But good.
Because it's the same people that are, these sects that are doing this.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to talk to somebody that comes from the Middle East, why don't you talk to and have Brigitte Gabriel come on? You ever hear her?
Yeah, I absolutely did. And I would love I would love to have other guests such as you're saying. I got to get going. Thanks for the comment. We got another call at 833-707-7900. Who's this?
Morning, Robert. Stephen.
Go ahead.
I just want to go back into history, and this is political history. This isn't, this is, okay, Muhammad was born, I think, in 633. Okay, if you could Google and search Merneptah Stele. I learned this in 1979 at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. There's like a 12-foot statue where they said that they wiped out the Jews. This is 3,500 years ago. And you spell it M-E-R-N-E-P-T-A-A-H. And what this is, on the stele itself, it says, Canaan is plundered. Ashkelon is conquered. Gezer is seized. Yenom is made no more. This is backed up by the Book of Judges. This was the time of the judges. Believe it or not, I used to teach Sunday school like a half a century ago. I remember a lot of
stuff. Thank you very much for the comments once again.
Yeah.
Some people say that it's a holy war, just like they did in the Old Testament, wipe everybody out. But, and that is true. God did declare that, but he declared it through his prophets. And I'm pretty sure Netanyahu isn't a prophet or any of his associates. Okay, Fahed, continue.
We need to say two things to the two callers. Number one, we needed to make it very clear that Arabs and Jews have not been fighting since the time of Abraham. There is no way in the Hebrew scripture or secular history that statement is true. Number two, when the Christian European persecuted the Jews in Spain, Portugal, France, England, Russia, and finally in Germany, it was the Muslims and the Christians of the Middle East that welcomed them in North Africa and in the Middle East. So we cannot, right now the Palestinians are suffering because of the sin of Christian Europe, who did not like the Jews and persecuted the Jews. And this is something we need to deal with. Right now, we need to focus on the Israel-Palestinian situation. I like the Gideon Levy, who is a writer in the Haaretz. He said a few years ago before COVID in Washington, D.C., and I heard him myself, he said to the audience, if you love Israel, you need to tell them what they are doing to the Palestinian wrong. Said why? He said, if you have a brother or an uncle who is drunk, to give them money, they love you. But to say, I'm going to pay for your rehab, they hate your guts. He said, if you really good old American, you genuinely love Israel, you need to say to them, the occupation is going to kill you in the end because you're going to die from the inside. For right now, for Israelis, five Israeli soldiers to run, Robert, after a 10-year-old kid in the West Bank, that's not normal. That's sick. And for Israel right now to continue killing the people in Gaza, the people, not Hamas. This is the situation. And finally, I need to say we need to know that Israel will not accept the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution will blow Israel to pieces. Israel does not want a Palestinian to be equal under one constitution. It wants to be an ethno state. So this rabbi said to me, Reverend, why don't you agree with a Jewish state? I said, of course I agree with a Jewish state if you agree with me. He said, what? I said, do you want America to be a Christian state? He said, not in hell. I said, why? He said, I want to be equal. Now give me a break. You want to be equal in the U.S., but do you want to be master in Palestine? On what basis?
Very interesting. We got one last call real quick.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of all of this bickering and war and everything could be cleared up by everyone just going back and reading through from Genesis the whole Bible regarding this subject, because God gave the land to Israel. He gave it to Israel. They have a right to it.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that holds at this time.
Read the Bible. I'll give you all the verses.
I'm well aware of those quotes, as you know, Joe.
I'll give you all the verses because that's the problem. And it's been said, if Israel lays down her weapons, they're dead. If the terrorists lay down their weapons, there'll be peace.
So no matter what the Israelis do, let's support them no matter what.
No,
they can murder and kill everybody.
I'm not saying that.
All right. Well, we talked about this before, Joe. God don't care about a little strip of land. It was important many years ago. It doesn't hold water anymore. I got to let you go. You and I can talk about this at another time. Fahed, finish up. You got like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'd like to give him a short answer. The prophet Micah says to the Hebrew believers, look, you can do a sacrifice, you can put oil in your head, and you can go to the synagogue, but oh, human being, unless you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly, I don't know you. The same thing Jesus said to us as disciples. He said, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, visit the prisoner. If you don't do these things, for your fellow human being, I don't know you. So the issue, religion need to unite us to love and respect one another. If we're going to lose the Hebrew scripture to take the land in the name of God, I don't accept it at all.
I don't either. But let's finish up and give us your solutions. First and foremost, you agree 100% Hamas is dead wrong in their killing tactics, and so is Israel. But what is the solutions going forward?
The solution at this point in history for the U.S. to change its policy and see the Palestinians as human beings, that they need to live free in a state with the Israelis as equals. An ethno state is not going to continue. We need the Israeli Jews and the Palestinian Arabs to live in a state respecting one another and loving one another and continue for the future as one people.
And how can people get in contact with you at your website or Facebook or whatever you do?
Yeah, you can give them my email, like fabuakel@gmail.com, or go to our website, www.pcap-us.org.
Okay, and if you didn't get that, go to the podcast on Monday or Tuesday, and this show will be there for you to listen to and enjoy. Thank you, Fahed. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. We need a session on Christian Zionism.
Yes, we could do 100 shows. Thank you. All roads lead back to God. Tyler, we love you. We'll see you again.
WAEB, Allentown. Listen on your free iHeartRadio app for all your music, radio, and podcasts.